Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Science from the Other Side. This is the place to share stories of science and messages received from our loved ones on the other side. I'm your host, Fern Ronay, and I'm thrilled to introduce author Ann Bardsley. Hi, Ann. Ann?
Yes.
Hi. Finally.
Hi.
Yay. Connection.
Yes,
hi,
yes.
How are you? I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Happened before. Yeah, sorry about that. But we are connected in more ways
okay.
than one. I'm so thrilled to finally be talking to you.
That's good. You know, technical electrical disturbances is also an angel bump. So maybe someone's trying to tell one of us something.
I think so. In fact, I think it's Aunt Ziza because I have in my notes, ask about Aunt Ziza. I loved the story and the photo on your website, but we will get to it. Aunt Ziza, if you're playing a joke on us in your French maid outfit by giving us technical difficulties, we love you for it.
You know, seriously, everybody should have an Aunt Ziza because she was just a hoot, absolute hoot. Yes, I love her.
Well, if it's her, sounds like it.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. So let me give you the proper introduction. Ann Bardsley is a wife, mother, grandmother, and author. Her first book, entitled How I Earned My Wrinkles, Musings on Marriage, Motherhood, and Menopause, was released in 2014, and her second book, Angel Bumps, Hello from Heaven, was released in 2017. Her writing has been featured on Irma Bombeck's humorwriters.org and Scary Mommy, among others. She's also working on another Angel Bumps book focusing on signs received from our pets who have passed. I love that you describe Angel Bumps as not a book about sadness. You say it may bring a tear to your eye, but you'll realize that you are not alone. I love that because sometimes when I describe the things I'm interested in and my books to people, and they say, I love ghost stories. And I'm like, well, that's not really what this is. I'm not into anything ghoulish. I don't even love Halloween in that sense. I'm just not kind of into that. Mine is more, like I say, it's martinis and cupcakes and happiness. And that's what that's how I view this. Yeah. And it sounds like you view it the same way. And I can't wait to read Angel Bumps, of course. And I love that it's an anthology and it gives me so many other authors. I can learn their stories and follow them and we can have a community of believers. So have you always believed this, or when was the first time, you asked for a sign? Was it from your mom?
Well, the first sign that I got was actually from my dad. He passed away first. His sign is actually a bird, a single bird. And when he passed away, he always joked that he was going to come back as a bird and just flit around and bother everybody. And after he died right around Christmas time. And for that Valentine's Day, I had bought my mom a double wreath for her front porch. And we had all these fresh, beautiful flowers. And she was going to put it outside. And my mom's porch was always so busy because she had so much company. It was almost annoying, but don't tell people I said that. So a bird hatched her babies in there, started a nest, hatched four babies. We had four sisters. And we always joked that I was just dad, stepping on mom. But then I wrote a story about my dad because he was such a fun dad. He started this idea one Christmas Eve to surprise the kids. We were little. An elf had fallen off of Blitzen, and he found him in the road, and he brought him home to our house. And the house was all decorated like something really happened, And I wrote that story. And I know I love that story. But I forgot about it. I sent it off to, the contest. And on April 12th, which was my dad's birthday, I went out to get the mail, walked out to my mailbox all by myself, and a bird was just dodging my head. And I'm like, what the heck, And when I opened the mailbox, there was a letter in there that I had won the contest with a check.
Oh!
And that bird sat, I know, the bird sat on the mailbox like, chirp, 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 and then flew off. And I was like, sweet bird. I love it.
And I say this, I have said this, I think literally on every episode where I say, if he, you say like, oh, I think my dad might be a bird, and then a bird comes to you and you're like, could it be? But there's always something else that happens along with it that gives you the confirmation. Like, it wasn't just that you know, a bird came to you and he was chirping and you're like, hi, dad. It was on his birthday to be like, just so in case you were not sure, this is your confirmation.
Exactly.
I love it.
It's so sweet that one of the nicest things about this book is it has people starting to question, was that really an angel bump? Oh, my God, was it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some things happened. But, oh, you know, this cardinal keeps visiting, but I don't know. And it was right after one of my daughter's friend's dad had passed away, who she was so close to, and she was just devastated. And she wrote me notes, and I'm waiting for my angel bump, and I sent her the book. And as soon as she read the cardinal story, she wrote back, oh, my God, my dad, I knew it. I feel so happy. I'm so, you know, I'm so happy he's not gone forever. It just brings so much comfort to people.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's so true. It's so true. And the story about, so the, you know, the wreath and the birds that had four other birds on your mom's porch. Like, even I've never, I mean, my parents have a porch and my brother has a porch and no birds ever landed on the porch.
And
giving birth to a family. It's so crazy that it would happen to you guys who've been saying, maybe dad, you know, he's going to be a bird and like, here he comes. But then also to have, you know, like, and then the other story on top of it. It's so wonderful.
There are so many from my dad.
Oh, I love it. And your mom, you know, like sometimes I tell people that even, you know, if you don't agree on a sign ahead of time, like, so my one grandmother and I was like, this is what you're going to send me leaves. Okay. And she's like, okay.
Oh.
But then other times, you know, people like my grandfather passed and my mother said, send me 3 pennies and I'll know it's you. So I always say it doesn't matter. You can do it before, you can do it after. They can hear you. You can ask for a sign anytime. And you did that with your mom.
I did. I was such a mess because, you know, you always think you're going to have your mom forever.
Yeah.
And when she was gone, it was after a funeral. And I said, you know, I need to know you're still around. I need to know. And I felt a hand on my cheek and I was like, Mom, you are freaking me out. What the heck is this? And I said, I need a real sign because I thought maybe I was imagining that.
Yeah.
And as soon as I turned the corner, all the little white, it was like I drove into a blizzard of little white butterflies.
I don't think I've ever seen a little white butterfly.
I
mean, I've seen other kinds of butterflies, but little white butterflies and a whole bunch of them, that's incredible.
Yep. She doesn't mess around. Yeah, but you know what? When my son got married, he had a garden wedding, and as they were saying their vows, who came by? Little white butterfly.
She doesn't miss any of the big occasions. Yeah.
No. And you know, it's so fun now because all my friends are like, oh, white butterfly, your mom's here. You know, they all do it now, so it's so sweet.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
The end of the book where she arrived in Colorado, and my grandson was like maybe 2 and a half, and he had been chasing a butterfly around the yard for half an hour, just laughing and cackling, and my daughter said, are you listening to this? Because Nan's here. And I said, what? And she said, Carlo, do you like that butterfly? And he goes, it's not a butterfly, it's Nan, which was my mother's grandmom name. And she died 18 years ago. Isn't that funny?
Oh, my God. Oh,
I love that. I know. I like the butterfly, but Nan is more fun. You know, things like that. So sweet.
Oh, that's
I'm like,
awesome.
Oh, my God, I just want to run around and give everybody angel bumps.
And I love how it becomes so natural, like a natural part of, you know, the family and the conversation. So my husband will see, a penny. He's like, your grandfather's here. Like the same thing, like, hi, grandpa.
Yeah.
Or a leaf. He's like, your grandmother's saying hi to me. and I feel like it's a gift to them too, to, you know, they don't need it certainly, but they're still here and they're still part of the family.
Yeah.
And your granddaughter, yeah. I, love Aunt Zizza, and I look forward to meeting her on the other side someday. Hopefully, a long time from now. But she just sounds incredible.
You know what my mother-in-law sign is? Do you remember that song by The Police? I'll be watching you every step you take. And I'm like, Dodi, stop this. You need to leave me alone.
That's so funny. So she would, Aunt Zizza would always say, like, oh, didn't she say to you at your wedding, like, I only have a few months to live? And then she said it
for
like 38 years.
She told me. Yes. Aunt, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm like, oh my God, Aunt Zizza. I really do miss her. She should be
and
coming.
And when you first met her, she was wearing, she was literally in a French maid's costume.
French maid tomb, serving shrimp cocktail in the living room. And my mother-in-law was kind of stuffy. And I was like, oh, man, this is not going to be fun. And then I met her and I was like, what? So fun.
How did she sisters come from the same family? They sound so different.
I'm telling you. They are completely different, completely. And they had this battle about who was the most beautiful their whole life. And they were both so beautiful. It was ridiculous.
Beautiful. I love that picture. They look like,
isn't that funny?
They look like twins. Yeah.
I know. They do, right?
Do you think Dodi sounds tough? Did you have in-laws are always interesting and we don't have to get into it. But it sounded like she was tough. Did you have a good relationship with her?
It took me a while to understand her because when we first Scott and I first got together, I had two boys from a previous marriage. And Dodi had a plan that her son would do, you know, this, this, and this. And here I come along and blew the whole thing right out of the water. So she wrote him a letter, actually, and said, please don't marry this woman. And I never saw it. But we got married, obviously, and she used to tell us when she got sick, as the years went by, she would say, you two laugh too much for a married couple. And we'd be like,
that sounds like the opposite of how it's supposed to be.
Right? We'll just pipe down on the happiness now. But when she was on, her deathbed and dying, after all these years, she said, you know, I really am glad he ended up with you because his life would have never been as nice as it is without you. And I thought, if only you'd said that 30 years ago, dude.
Right. A little late. But I always think sometimes people have a better relationship. Well, it's nice that she said it before she passed, but sometimes I think it's perfectly possible to have a better relationship with someone after they pass.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Do you think she sent signs?
Well, I think she is. You know, I go to certain people who are like the mediums, and I'm really choosy who I go to because I don't, you know,
me
I don't want to.
I don't trust anybody.
Harry. And she comes through. It's just lovely, absolutely lovely. So you never know.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Because
probably her true state, her true like, you know, her soul is really a lovely person, but for whatever reason, the challenges she had when she was alive affected her in some way.
Well,
that's so.
You know what I figured it out? Halfway through our marriage, I figured out what she really needed was attention. She wanted someone to fuss over her and make her feel loved. And once we started doing that, everything changed.
Once you figured out what she needed,
because they'll be like this tough person, and then underneath, you realize, and then once you can give someone what they really need, they open up.
I wonder where that came from. I wonder if the parents made her and her sister competitive or something. Or even
they
had sometimes parents. Yeah, that would explain.
Yeah, they were split. One went to live with the mother, the other went with the father.
God, it's like the parent trap.
Right? And my mother-in-law went with her dad because she didn't want him to be alone. So... you know, it's, I know. It's sad, really. But, I love her now. We're great now.
I love it. And I love her granddaughter, Kaylee. She sounds like a pip. She's on my list of people I want to meet. She sounds like such an old soul and such a beautiful soul and such a sweet kid. And I love the story of her chasing a black butterfly.
chasing her, right, in school?
Kaylee is 7 now, and she is my little clairvoyant little girlfriend. She, granddaughter girlfriend. She's my love bug. And she has that gene where she can come into a room. And when she was just here, when Wilfred, our dog, got sick, and my biggest fear was, oh, please, God, don't let us have to put him down while the kids are here visiting, you know. And they were here for 2 weeks. And during that time, and she came in and she said, oh, I feel sad. Why do I feel so sad? And then we had, you know, Wilfred's not feeling good. But she's the one who spots butterflies, and she'll tell you, oh, he's happy now. He's good.
Oh, sweet.
I know. She's really just a little love bug.
So when the butterfly, the black butterfly following her at school, she, at the same time, her grandfather, Smokey, passed.
Grandpa.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, she told me that she thought Wilfred would meet him up there so that they would hang out together. And don't worry, everything is good, because there were other dogs were there too. So everybody is Taco.
Aww.
Yeah.
Right. She said Taco's letting her know that he's all right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
You know, they say kids are really, really open to the spirit world until they turn about between 10 and 12. And then we start to tell them, that's crazy. Don't talk like that. And, you know, we shut it down. And it's such a shame because they are so open. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And is she your daughter's daughter?
She's my daughter's daughter, yeah. She's my first granddaughter.
Is your daughter open to these?
Oh, yes.
To the idea? Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah. All my kids were open to it.
Good.
My job.
So you, how did you come up with the idea to do angel bumps?
Well, you know, my husband and I, when we took care of my father-in-law, he was at the VA hospital locally, and they were so good to him. We wanted to give back when he was on the hospice floor, and they just made his transition so sweet. So we volunteered there for 2 years, and I would tell families, the soldiers who were there, that, you know, what happened with my mom when she passed, that she wasn't really gone, and the signs are still there, and they would all get goosebumps and say, oh, my God, that is so sweet. So they're not real, you know, and they were so, amazed by it. And then the patients would start saying, don't forget to tell the new people about the butterflies. And little by little, my mom got known all around the floor, you know.
Aww.
So it was such a blessing for me to even just say something so simple that made people feel so good. But that's what my mom she would have done that.
And she was doing it. And so and you decided to, you know, compile it and contact other people who, how did you find the stories?
Well, what I did was I put out a call for submissions, and I'm at Irma Bombeck Convention. I go to that all the time every 2 years. And so I have a base of professional writers. So I put the call out to them, and I just asked people to share it. And stories came in from across the country. Some people I know, some I have no idea. And you know what? Talk about an honor. Oh, my God. They let you into their hearts with these stories.
Yeah.
You know, and some are funny. Some are so touching. Mm-hmm. And some just make you go, wow, holy smokes. The power. But it's really good.
Yeah.
I'm a person, I'm good with tears. If you want to cry, I am there. I'm good with that. I have no problem with people crying. I have a problem with a stiff upper lip. But if you want to cry, tell
me
a story.
Let it out.
Hugging, girl. Yeah.
I'm with you. And so you want to do another, you want to do several editions of Angel Bumps. So you're there's kind of a call for submissions for signs from pets. And you received a sign from your dog. Was it Wilfred?
Wilfred was a dog that my other cockapoo passed away, and I thought our other little Miss Maddie needed a friend because she was lonely. And I kept saying, you know, Anne, you don't need a dog. You don't need another dog. You know, and I said, oh, fine, whatever, God, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. If it happens, it happens. And I couldn't find one. I looked in shelters, couldn't find one anywhere. And one day I opened up my computer, and who's sitting there looking at me but this Cavalier King Charles poodle mix on a wicker chair, and I swear he said, "Ann, come get me." I got him. I brought him home, and I'm telling you, we only had him for 7 months. He wormed so tight into my heart. I just loved him. And he had a tumor. We didn't know anything about it till the very end. We had to put it. We had 1 week where we had left before he got really sick. And he was chicken. He had steak. The kids loved him. Oh my God, he had such a great time. And when we took him that night at like 2 a.m, I said to my husband, "We can't wait. We got to go." I got home, and that morning I'm sitting in my writing room at 4 a.m. and I am just bawling. Like, I couldn't believe my heart hurt so much for such a new dog for us. And I had subscribed to Guideposts because I wanted to submit stories. Well, that magazine was sitting on my desk, and boom, it fell on the floor. And I went to pick it up. I'm blowing my nose, picking this thing up, bawling, and it's open to a page with a dog curled up, sleeping on a bed, and he's wearing angel wings.
I love it, Wilfred.
Oh, Wilfred. Oh, my God. You know,
I was just going to say it's one of those things where you could have fallen and opened, but it opened on a page of a dog in angel wings.
In angel wings. I have to put it in the book. At that moment in time. See, these little things happen all the time. And, like, I'm aware of them when they happen. I'm like, oh, I got another one today, yes. But some people just miss. And it's such a shame. And that's one of the goals, really, is that when people read the book, that they start to realize, maybe I'm getting them. You know, maybe maybe this is mine. And there are so many. There's feathers, there's coins, there's music on the radio. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things they can do. This is so darn sweet. Yeah,
it's so true. And it's the other thing go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I love that you get it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, completely. For a very long time. And, yeah, I'm finishing my second book. The first one came out a couple years ago, but it's, I describe it as Sex in the City meets Ghost. It's a story of a of a young lawyer in the city who gets signed. She's a believer, too. But I always say, you know, when I have these conversations with people, I never want people to feel like their grief is, you know, diminishing their grief in any way. Because I think, like, you know, I don't want people to be like, I want people to understand that I agree that you want your loved one here. Like, the best place for them to be is alive here with us.
Yeah.
I completely get it. But the fact remains that I still believe that the second place, second best place, they're on the other side. This is life. And they're still here in a different way.
And I don't like them on the other side. I want them here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad passed away right before Christmas, and I am Christmas shopping, and "I'll Be Home for Christmas" comes over the loudspeaker.
Oh.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I have a whole thing to it. A ball. You know, and there's, you just can't, that loss just stays with you till it's ready to move along a little bit.
It's true.
But if we can comfort a little bit and make you feel like, okay, we know they're not here. You know, I mean, everyone
Exactly.
Yeah. Just a little bit of comfort.
Exactly. It's like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, the fact remains that they're not here anymore, and it's awful.
Yeah.
But they're still here in another way.
In another way.
And to acknowledge,
It's so funny that God gave me this project prior in the world. It's ridiculous.
Me too.
You know?
Me
and these
too.
Stories would come in, and I'd be like so touched, like, oh, I love this. And, you know, you get to know the people, and it's just so darn sweet.
It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful.
It is. Yeah, I mean, I really, tears, I think, just show how much you love someone. Wouldn't it be awful if you died and no one cried? I think so.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I tell my husband that if I, you know, God forbid, but that I don't want him to cry. I want him to be happy. I want him to get, you know, God forbid, but like this is now getting a little morbid, but like I want my loved ones here to be happy and
yeah.
find love again and laugh. And I don't want anybody crying over me, but as a crier, I know that, you know, I get it.
Well, you know what, I'll tell you. I can't even think of my husband and this happening. So we had a discussion, and in my first book, Pop the Wrinkles, I wrote, it's called Fluff and Stuff. When I die, I don't want to be cremated or buried. I want him to get me some light stuffing and just fill me up like you know those tubes the kids float on the styrofoam with, and just kind of make me invisible. And you can dress me up, do what you want with me, but I'm not going anywhere. Put a glass of wine in front of me with some sunglasses on, and I'm there. But I really
can't. I love
it.
I was going to ask you about your first book. So it's called How I Earned My Wrinkles, Musings on Marriage, Motherhood, and Menopause. So you've been married, is it 39 years now?
40 years now.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
How did that idea come up?
With the,
to write that book.
The wrinkles.
The wrinkles. I know you said Scott is your muse.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I have these darn wrinkles, and I have spent so much money on wrinkle cream that my husband jokes that the bathroom looks like, you know, a beauty store, and I still have the darn wrinkles. So I decided, because I have 5 kids, and just 13 years alone, I should have been a wrinkled mess. And then I married a wrinkle maker to make matters worse, or better, actually. So I'm just destined to have these wrinkles. And I've just given up on it. It's, you know, I just smile. What can you do? I just smile. Yep.
And so were you writing just like kind of compiling notes, and then you were like, I have to put this all in one place?
Well, you know, I did it when my kids were little. I used to keep journals for my sanity.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Because, well, I thought one day I will laugh at them putting peanut butter all over their bodies with Cheerios attached, you know. But it wasn't funny then, but one day it could be.
Yeah.
So I have oodles and oodles and oodles. And my husband is, this is going to sound crazy, 1 year for Easter, he bought me a cemetery cross. Thought it was a portable garden.
Oh,
I know, right? And he bought
God.
Me a big one. And he really loves me. I know. And he's like, well, this is great. The kids can carry it around out back. We'll bring it out. We can bring it on vacation. I'm thinking, yeah, like he has a cemetery cross on vacation.
That is so funny. Oh,
yeah.
He's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Right? And I couldn't tell. Oh, and then we're at a funeral. We're at the cemetery, and he says, those crosses look kind of like your portable garden. And I said, oh, no. Mine is much more beautiful. That's not even close. They were identical.
Oh, you're so sweet. So you didn't tell him at the time, like, honey, this isn't a portable garden? Like, you didn't blow it for him?
Well, I was just getting ready to, and then my parents arrived, and my father said, Scott, that is a beautiful portable garden. Where'd you find it? I'm like, oh, my God. I married my father.
Aw.
Yeah.
That is so
No,
sweet.
But his intention was good, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about the intention.
Exactly.
It was so wonderful to chat with you.
You too. I wish you were closer. We could have a glass of wine together.
I know. I would love it. Maybe someday. I have to check out the Irma Bombeck convention.
Sure, that's the
best.
Yeah,
I think I should. I would love to meet you in person. So hopefully we will make it happen one day. But in the meantime, where can everyone find you?
Oh, I am at www.ann with an A, Bardsley, BARDSLEY.com. I'm on Facebook. Just, you know, look for me. There's a Facebook private group for Angel Bumps, just for stories for people who want to share things. Yeah. We have a Facebook
for great.
That.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then you're on Twitter too, right?
I'm on Twitter too.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it's one or something.
One.
And then angelbumps@gmail.com is my email for any Angel Bump stuff. So make it easy.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
This was awesome.
Nice talking to
thank
you.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
And hi, Viz. We know you're with us. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to everyone listening. For more stories about signs on the other side, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks.
Ebenezer Scrooge, awake! I am the ghost of the Mercedes-Benz winter event. Your time is running out. Come, I must show you the sleek CLA. Nice, said Scrooge, but I am kind of a Scrooge. No worries. The CLA offers true Mercedes performance at a surprising price. Or check out the GLC, an SUV with the full complement of technology and performance. Give your year the happy ending it deserves at the Mercedes-Benz winter event. Now at your Mercedes-Benz dealer. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Ebenezer Scrooge, awake! I am the ghost of the Mercedes-Benz winter event. Your time is running out. Come, I must show you the sleek CLA. Nice, said Scrooge, but I am kind of a Scrooge. No worries. The CLA offers true Mercedes performance at a surprising price. Or check out the GLC, an SUV with the full complement of technology and performance. Give your year the happy ending it deserves at the Mercedes-Benz winter event. Now at your Mercedes-Benz dealer. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.